And thank you for joining me in this special Earth Day edition. I'm Brian Sussman. Sorry, I'm about to laugh because people actually take this day seriously. I've written extensively about Earth Day, first in my book, Climate Gate, and now in my book, Climate Cult. I blow it out even further. I'm going to share with you details you've probably never heard before regarding Earth Day. You're also going to meet some characters that I've been collecting over the years. Earth Day characters, collect the whole set. These are people that I've interviewed over the years at various Earth Day observances. The most recent occurring this past weekend in Santa Cruz County, California. Santa Cruz County is probably, well, certainly one of the most environmentally misguided counties in the entire United States. And so it's easy to find some people that are sworn to the cause of fixing climate change. You'll hear these interviews in just a moment. I've got a communist. I've got a Malthusian anti-population zealot. I've got a woman with a degree in environmental justice. And I've got a guy who really believes that we need to start terraforming other planets because we're about to run out of resources here. But before we get to all of that, I just want to unpack some of the details I have in the new book. I don't want to create a spoiler for you, but you need to understand where Earth Day comes from. First of all, Earth Day, the first Earth Day, April 22nd, 1970, it was a Wednesday. I remember it very well because we were forced to observe it in my earth science class back in 1970. So I remember it. We were supposed to just talk about how the United States was an imperialist nation. This was all way above my head. I mean, at that point in my life, I was basically just interested in sports and rock and roll. But we were supposed to have this conversation, and we had the little Earth Day pins that the earth science teacher handed out to everybody. And I'll never forget, and I talk about this in the book, I'll never forget coming home from school with my little Earth Day button on and my dad looking at it. And forgive my language, but he said, "What is this bullshit? What's with that?" And so I told him why I was wearing the pin, and he said, "So you just pin it on. We're going to celebrate the Earth, kind of like the Earth's birthday. Is that what's happening right now?" He was so sarcastic. And again, I draw out the story in the book, but the bottom line was I finally realized this is stupid. And I took off the pin and threw it in the trash, and he gave me a big pat on the back. Because he could smell a rat. I mean, this guy had been around the block, okay? He helped fight real enemies in World War II that were trying to take over the planet with military weapons. But this is an enemy that wants to take over the planet as well. Actually, they see us as the enemy. And you'll see this in the interviews. Humankind has always been the enemy of the Marxist, the collectivist, the authoritarian, the military strongman, the dictator, the elites at the WEF, the swamp in Washington, D.C. They see humans, you and me, as the problem. So getting back to April 22nd, 1970. Well, that was the 100th anniversary of Vladimir Lenin's birth. Vladimir Lenin, the first disciple of Marx to take over a country. It was a 7-year reign, and it was horribly bloody. And on top of that, there was mass starvation, and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people died of hypothermia. Now, it's interesting. The country is going to hell in a handbasket, and what was Lenin doing? See, most people don't know this, but the environmentalists know this. Vladimir Lenin was an environmentalist's environmentalist. He wrote, while his country's going to pieces, he's writing lengthy papers about preserving the environment, saving the environment, keeping humans away from the forests, keeping them away from the minerals, keeping them away from diverting water into their farms. And so what was happening? People were starving to death. People were freezing to death. And it was misery, but he had no problem with that. Because, like you'll hear in these little interviews coming up, these environmentalists think you're the problem and there are too many of you, too many of us. So we need to do something about this. So, though the founders of Earth Day will never admit it, I contend to this day that they chose that date specifically. And as I reveal in my book as well, and I've talked about this in past podcasts, when you look at the first disciples of Karl, some of the first disciples of Karl Marx with PhDs after their names, they were the original environmentalists, the original ecologists. In fact, the term ecology was coined by a direct disciple of Karl Marx. Why? Because he wanted to have something, in this particular case, nature, as a hook to try to make people believe that capitalism was so evil, so wrong, so bad, that it was destroying nature, ecology. I found something from Friedrich Engels. This is Karl Marx's writing partner. He was the guy that basically funded Marx, and he also had a PhD. But Friedrich Engels actually put together a really dramatic piece in which the earth becomes a frozen ball of ice. Why? Because of capitalism and industrialization. That's in the 1800s. So now you fast forward. All of these really clever, quite frankly, great writers started using the pen as a sword to hammer capitalism, to hammer industrialism, to hammer the pursuit of happiness, which involves owning property. They started assaulting that with their pens in very clever, flowery language to show that capitalism, industrialism, consumerism, all evil. The answer was Marxism. And it takes us to writers like, for example, Rachel Carson, Silent Spring. Silent Spring still sells well to this day. It was written in the late 60s by Rachel Carson, loaded with such scientific misinformation, pseudoscience, if you will. Her book was followed by another hugely popular book that's still read to this day entitled Population Bomb by Professor Emeritus Paul Ehrlich from Stanford. He actually, in that book, equates the human population as being a cancer that needs to be eradicated. I've got all that in the book as well. Now, why do I mention these characters? Well, I mention specifically, I get to Paul Ehrlich because he was one of the founders of Earth Day. It was Paul Ehrlich from Stanford. It was Dennis Hayes, who was the former student body president at Stanford and then ends up becoming a hugely popular and successful anti-Vietnam War activist. And then a guy who was the first environmentalist in the U.S. Congress, Senator Gaylord Nelson from Wisconsin. So this is all taking place in about 1969. What else happened in 1969? Sex, drugs, rock and roll, the Woodstock generation. And that coincided in 1969 with some ecological stories that made the news. One was the New York City garbage strike, garbage collector strike. So it was pollution on parade night after night after night on the CBS Evening News, ABC News, NBC News. You saw garbage piling up on the street. We were polluters. But then something else happened. There was a very brief fire on the Cuyahoga River in Ohio, in Cleveland. The Cuyahoga River, listen, it was a mess. There's no question about it. But can I tell you something regarding its mess? We've cleaned it up since. We've done such a masterful job in the United States of cleaning up our messes. Not just the rivers, but also the skies. We've done a great job. Everyone should emulate us because we know how to take care of our own environment very, very well. We're not the problem. It's the other nations who won't follow our lead that are the problem, like China, where the skies are putrid. In fact, they'll actually conduct weather modification, and I talk about this in Climate Cult. They actually conduct weather modification on a regular basis in China to rain the soot out of the skies. India is a horrible mess. I have a friend who lives in Calcutta. He literally says that on many, many days throughout the year, you have to wear an N95, one of those, you know, N95 masks, because the pollution is just so bad. So there are places around the world, if they would just emulate us and our technology and what we've been able to do to clean up our own mess, it would be a great thing. But again, the environmentalists see us as the problem. It's called climate justice. So you had these three characters, Gaylord Nelson, who had some clout in Washington, D.C., and then two others. Dennis Hayes, he knew how to organize. Paul Ehrlich, he provided the brains, so to speak. They decided that they would do a national teach-in on the environment. Now, Senator Gaylord Nelson was, this guy was not just an environmentalist. I mean, he was the first of his kind in Washington, D.C., but the guy was also a socialist. But certainly Dennis Hayes, the anti-Vietnam War organizer from Stanford, was a socialist, communist, collectivist, Marxist. And that's very clear because he literally says, and I have the quote in my book, that he hated America so much. He said, quote, "I needed a getaway." Literally, he left the United States because he loathed it so much. But he came back just in time to create the first Earth Day. Earth Day utilizes nature, utilizes the environment, utilizes the ecology to hammer life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So they put together this Earth Day, 1970, and it's been rolling along ever since, and it really helped build momentum to bring forth the modern day environmental movement that seeks a transformation of society. It's what Al Gore said, a wretched transformation of society, an effort to bring forth a new form of global governance whereby the natural rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which, of course, I also unpack in the book, that's the ownership of property, everything from the shirt on your back to the roof over your head. They want to make sure that those three natural rights, God-given rights, are thrown into the dustbin of history. So with that in mind, you're going to meet some of the people that I've been interviewing. And by the way, they're all nice people. I just have to tell you that. They're all nice people. They're just cuckoo. They've consumed the Kool-Aid, so to speak. The communist Kool-Aid. They've been brainwashed, if you will, into believing that there really is a climate emergency and solving it will bring forth a utopia that will provide justice and peace and tranquility and fairness and equity to all. So the first guy you're going to meet here is the avowed anti-capitalist. The second person is the otherwise wonderful young woman who's just been completely brainwashed. She has a degree in global and environmental justice. The other is a guy who really and truly believes that there are too many people on the planet and we need to do something about that, very much like Paul Ehrlich believes. The next person you're going to meet is a young woman who, despite her initial appearance, is actually very eloquent. She has feelings that the government needs to get more involved. And then the last character is a guy who is actually kind of hilarious, but he really believes this. We're going to run out of resources on planet Earth, so we need to start looking for ways to farm the other planets. And away we go.
Let's get off our capitalist consumer nature. We're addicted to buying things. We have to just take care of our own, be in community, celebrate community, traveling and buying new things. That's actually part of the problem. That is the problem.
The solutions to climate change lie in environmental justice and climate justice. Yeah. It's our only way to truly have equitable justice in the future, a just transition away from fossil fuels.
Population is an issue that underlies all the other environmental issues, including environmental climate change, because each person contributes a certain amount of carbon dioxide every year. What we can do as individuals is to first have smaller families.
The government should fund projects to help people with inventions and innovative ideas that would help sustain agriculture and sustain low impact power.
Community power, community-led work. Yeah, getting community voices at the table with government agencies and making sure that they're the focus.
The one thing that we really can do, because Earth is going to die eventually, is start terraforming other planets. It's just not immediately a possibility, but we need to work towards that goal.
And so now you know, in large measure, why I wrote the book Climate Cult, because everyone you just saw, it's as if they're members of a cult. They've been programmed to believe everything they articulated. And my book has been written to deprogram them and prevent others from ever getting suckered in to this climate cult. Thanks for watching. I hope you'll share. And until next time, God bless you. ¶¶